Hallelujah. Turn your swords to Exodus 3. Exodus chapter 3. Can everybody hear me? Exodus chapter 3. Glory to God. Oh, we love you, Lord, and we just thank you. Now, Holy Ghost, we just welcome you because you're the teacher. And we ask that you'll quicken us and open our ears, eyes, and heart to receive what you're saying. Feed us from your throne room. As we've already drank and we already are drunk. Now it's time to eat. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. So that was pretty powerful. That was God's presence, wasn't it? It was burning light. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. Now understand, Moses made a conscious effort and a choice to go to the light. When the Lord saw that Moses made the choice to come to the light, he spoke to him. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God what? Called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then he said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Wow. That is so symbolic. And tonight's teaching is called, take off your shoes. Take off your shoes, man. What was happening here was the Lord, first of all, God gave Moses a sign, didn't he? Moses made a choice. He made a choice to acknowledge what he saw. And as he went towards it, God spoke to him. But before he could get near him, the Lord said, okay, hold on, Moses. Before you come closer, take your shoes off. In other words, something was unclean. Does everybody get it? Something was unclean. Then he said, okay, now you can come closer and I'll talk with you. But first, he had to do something. He had to take something off. You know what? There are so many things that God has been asking us to give up so that we can get closer to Him. Amen. So many things God is asking us to give up. Now, the shoes are a representation of worldly. Okay? A representation of worldly. Now, he says, now the Bible tells us here that he was at the Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of God. In other words, God revealed Himself through that mountain, didn't He? All right? Now, the Word tells us, if you go to Psalm 24 for a minute. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Now, understand this. It's really important because the Lord gave Moses a sign. Moses saw the sign. He went towards the Lord. The Lord said, take your shoes off, right? Because you're on holy ground. Now come closer. Why? Because God was getting ready to give Moses a message. So many times we miss God's message because we're not willing to lay down what our agenda is or what we think or whatever it is or what we know is unclean or whatever it is that we know is not right in the eyes of God. And we miss the message of the Lord all the time. Let me share something with you. And I've heard this over and over. When somebody has started a ministry or something, or actually, you know, the Lord starts the ministry, or they begin to do something, I've heard over and over that the Lord has spoken to this individual that he wasn't the first one God tried to do it with. Just many were not obedient or weren't listening. Amen? So, you know, think about how many times that you and I have missed God because we weren't willing to lay down something so that we could go towards Him and get the message, counsel, correction, or direction, or the will of God in our life. Amen? In Psalm 24, oh, hallelujah. time to take off our shoes, amen? So we can get new shoes. Amen. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've prayed for people and the Lord has showed me that He's taking their shoes off and giving them new shoes.
Amen.
Many, many times. And it is symbolic. Very symbolic. That there's something new about to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 24 and verse 3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, in other words, something worldly, whether it be lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek Him, who seek your face. So you got to understand something, that the Lord said, who can approach me but He is a pure, what? Heart and clean hands. A pure heart and clean hands. You know, how many times have we picked up things where the Lord is trying to speak to us, but we won't lay it down, and we miss the message. You know why? Because what we're holding is entangling us in the affairs of the world. And the Bible tells us that a soldier should not be entangled in the affairs of the world, should he? Amen? Okay. Go to Revelation 17. Now again, I want to repeat something here as we get to Revelation 17. Hallelujah. Understand that who can approach the mountain of God, but He is what? A pure heart and clean hands. Moses, first of all, understand what happened. He saw, he heard, and he what? Followed. He saw, he heard, and he followed. He saw the bush, he heard the voice call him, and he followed. And the Lord used him greatly, didn't He? That is a constant cycle that you and I must go through. We must see, hear, and follow. Does everybody understand that? How many times have we seen things that we know that weren't right? The Bible says, turn away from evil, right? Amen. Depart from evil. But we won't depart from evil. See, we've seen it, so we're obviously going the opposite way when we go towards it, and that means we're not following, and what we're doing is missing God. Missing God. And one of the most terrible things as a believer is to miss God. I mean, it is terrible for me and you to constantly miss Him. I'm not saying that we're not going to miss Him once in a while, but you know what? Circumstances cause us, if we're really walking with the Lord, Amen. To allow us to see what we've missed.
Yeah.
That's how everybody gets rescued, right? I always tell everybody, prayers don't rescue people. Prayers cause circumstances, because only God can rescue someone. Amen? Every one of us in this room was rescued by a circumstance. So that we can finally call out to Him. But it was prayers that allowed the circumstances to manifest. Yeah. So that when you and I called out to the Lord, He was there ready. Amen? In Revelation 17. And verse 14. These will make war with the Lamb. Is everybody with me? And the Lamb will overcome them, for He is the Lord of lords and King of kings. So we know there's a war going on. Amen? And those who are with Him are what? Called, chosen, and faithful. They are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Called means invited. Chosen means participant. And faithful means one who's willing to drop down and follow. Drop whatever it is to follow. Now, if you correlate this or parallel this, you can say Moses was called by what he saw, he was chosen by what he heard, and he was faithful to follow. Somebody got it? He was called by what he saw, he was chosen by what he heard, and he was faithful by his following. Because when the Lord said, take your shoes off, God was about to give him a message, a purpose, and a plan. A message to carry, a purpose why he was to carry it, and a plan in how to carry it. Hello? Does everybody with me? So many times God has shown us, spoken to us, and asked us to follow. Isn't that the same thing as we must deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow? Amen? So when the Lord said, take your shoes off, Moses, it was a representation of, listen, there's things about to change in your life. I'm going to give you new shoes. I'm going to give you new shoes. I'm going to show you how to walk in my shoes. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Go to Genesis 3. You know, so many times we say, oh, get behind me, Satan, or I rebuke you to a brother. Maybe we got to start saying, man, put on a new pair of shoes. Amen. Your feet stink. I guess that's like your fruit stinks, amen? Put on a new pair of shoes, man. Your feet stink. Praise God. And Genesis 3, in verse 6, hallelujah, is everybody there? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate, and we know that was sin, because the Lord said, don't do it, amen, don't touch it, don't look at it, don't do it. In fact, the Bible tells us to separate ourselves from the world, amen. He says, don't touch anything unclean, and I'll be your father, right? We have a tendency to touch things, even in our minds, whatever it may be. Even Eve said to the serpent, the Lord said that we're not to eat of it nor touch it. Okay? So anyways, this caused sin, didn't it? So the Lord said, listen, you can't be in my presence. Sin will not dwell in my presence. Does everybody understand how we can miss God? Amen? Now look at what he did. In verse 7 it says, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. So they tried to cover themselves up. Hello. let's see, maybe this is why I did it. Well, people try to reason, make excuses why they're doing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Trying to cover themselves up. It don't work with Daddy. No. We're naked before Him. Has everybody got it? Mm-hmm. Now go to verse 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made what? Tunics of skin and clothed them. So the Lord took off their coverings and put on coverings. Now understand this. This is important. The Lord put clothing on them when he sent them from his presence because of their sin. And he took them off. In other words, he took off his shoes when he chose to come in fellowship with Moses. So what did he do? The clothes that he put on, the covering that he put on, all right, when he sent them from his presence, is the same covering he took off when he called them back into his presence. Is everybody with me? Has everybody got it? Let me say this again. The covering that he put on them when he removed them from his presence is the same covering he took off of them when he called them back into his presence. That's why he told Moses, take your shoes off, because that was a representation of all the way back when he clothed them in the Garden of Eden. All right? Hallelujah. Now, so the Lord put clothing on them when he sent them out of the garden, out from his presence, and he took the clothing off of him when he called Moses back into his presence. From the life of disobedience to a life of what? Submission and a new life. Moses was never the same, was he? A whole new life. Amen. He was a faithful servant all the way, man. All the way. All the way until he blew it. But he didn't make the promised land, did he? Because he was disobedient. Let me share something with you. As you begin to get closer to the Lord, light things are accounted to you. You're no longer accountable as for, like, to the ways of the world or the ways you used to be. You're more accountable. Amen. So even lighter things You're accountable for more. Moses was told to go hit the rock, right? The first time. The second time, water came out representing the Spirit. The second time, Moses was told to speak to the rock, which was representation of the ministry that was to come, which is the ministry of the Spirit, which is the word of spoken breath, right? No longer ordinances and things that you had to do by hitting something or rituals, but by what you were going to speak. It was a representation of the new ministry, the new covenant that was going to come by the Spirit. So when Moses was told to speak to the rock, he disobeyed and hit the rock, and the Lord said, "You ain't entering the promised land." Now you would think that if anybody else did that, it would have been like, what's the big deal? Because Moses walked close with God, it was a big deal to the Lord. The closer you get to the Lord, the more big deals are little things. Does everybody get it?
Yes.
And if you count them as little, you'll find yourself further and further away from the Lord. You'll find that you'll lose the favor of God, and you'll be blessing yourself, and it won't be from Him. For much is given, much is what?
Required.
Amen? Especially believers. You know, I hear a lot of believers tell me, "Yeah, I've been walking with the Lord 30 years. Well, why aren't you growing? You know why? Because they're still touching unclean things. Or someone that was doing really good, walking in the Spirit, revelation, all kinds of stuff. Next thing you know, they're touching common things of the world like it's common. They're losing the presence of God. Now they're looking towards the world to get fulfilled because God's presence is depleting from them. Does everybody understand that? You know what they need? New shoes. Because their shoes stink. They need new shoes, man. New life. Go to Joshua 5. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody all right? Take off your shoes. You are on holy ground. Glory to God. Joshua chapter 5. Come on. Hallelujah. In verse 13. You know, God knows our heart, amen? He knows whether we're manipulating, whether we're lying. He knows it all, man. And what happens is you can't cover yourself. Don't try it. You can't. You know? Not only will God expose to everyone else, He'll expose it. You won't be able to hold it. It will manifest. It's going to manifest. You can't hold it. Because if you've touched unclean things, amen, it's going to manifest. Without repentance and turning away, and you know what? You and I are to hate evil, aren't we? We're to hate evil. The Bible didn't say, hang around evil. It says depart from evil. It didn't say, be nonchalant about evil. Amen? Hate evil. Hate evil. Depart from evil. Don't touch it. Jesus told us, right? He said, listen, you can fornicate by just looking at a woman and thinking about her. Why? Because they were touching it in the thoughts. Right? The seeds were being planted of lust and corruption. He said, you sin within. But when sin is what? Full blown, right? It brings forth what? Death. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. But if you're walking in the Spirit and you have a pure heart and clean hands, you're going to be more sensitive to those things. And you're not going to count a common thing that others may count as a common thing. To you, it's going to be critical because you want to be clean before God. Let me give you an example. There are people who have a glass of wine with their dinner. Depends how close you want to be to God. The Lord told His priests that they could not drink wine, didn't He? They couldn't drink wine. I mean, they had a ritual every time they got before God in the Old Testament, didn't they? You know, you and I just can't go before God. You know what it says? That we can, by the Spirit of grace, we have boldness to go. Well, you know what the Spirit of grace always says? Repent before you come before me.
Amen.
If you're listening. Repent before you come before me.
Yeah.
See, people just take, they look at God as just God. It's like they make the name God a common thing, as they make the name Jesus a common thing. Jesus rebuked some of his people and said, you think I'm like you? You think I'm like you that, you know? I mean, look what happened with Sapphira and Ananias, right? I mean, the anointing that was on Paul, whoa, right? They came before them, the disciples, and they lied and they died. Amen. It was real simple. So, you know, we have to be sensitive in the spirit. They have to discern and not allow the devil to convince us that a common thing, even though others are doing it, it's okay for you to do it. Depends how close you want to be to the Lord. And when you've been that close to the Lord already and you start touching common things or unclean things that man calls common, you'll find God's presence begin to lift from you. Amen? And you'll begin to seek other things for fulfillment. And the devil will torment your mind. You'll have a hard time struggling. You'll walk in the flesh, and you'll do your best to try and walk in the Spirit, but you can only fake it for so long until you get back in. Amen? Joshua 5 and verse 13. Would you read it with me? And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Now look at what was happening. Joshua was about to get a what? Message. What did he say? Take your shoes off, man. Take your shoes off. Even though Joshua was walking upright, he still said, take your shoes off. Does everybody understand that? Because when we had to approach the Lord with a pure heart and what? Clean hands. The only way that you're going to get a pure heart and clean hands is if you humble yourself before God and repent. You know, you and I just don't approach. Every morning you and I should approach the Lord in repentance. Hello? Surrender and submission to Him. Now, after you've submitted yourself and surrendered your spirit, soul, and body as a living sacrifice, then the rest of the day you can go to Him, can't you? Because you've already done what you're supposed to do, just like when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. Amen? But it's always good to get quickened during the day, Lord, forgive me. Listen, when you know you've done something, forgive Him. Ask for forgiveness. It's real simple. Amen? So the commander of the army, the messenger, was coming to. And the first thing he says is, take off your shoes. Right? Why? Because he had a what? Message. Listen, if you're not in the Spirit, you can't get the things of the Spirit. Is everybody with me?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Simple, quick teaching tonight. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Ain't sure are quiet tonight. Okay. Praise God. Now, don't go home and throw out all your shoes, all right? I mean,
<Don't
go. laughs> these are spiritual shoes, okay? Genesis 3. In verse verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. What are you and I made of?
Dust.
Hello. Come on, man. You know what an eagle's favorite, you know, the Bible tells us that we're to be like eagles, right? You know what an eagle's favorite delicacy is? Snakes. They fly high to look for snakes, man. Amen. Praise God. So the Lord said, listen, serpent, you're not going to walk upright anymore. You're going to get on your face. And you're going to eat dust. Verse 15. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his what?
Heel.
Which represents his what? Foot. Hello? So we see here that this is a representation that God was going to send a message into the world. He already told the serpent ahead of time, listen, I'm going to send a messenger into the world with a message. Who's going to bruise your head? Even though his foot's going to be bruised. But he's going to put your head underneath his feet. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
He's going to put the serpent's head underneath your feet. So the Lord already said this, didn't he? This was prophecy right here. I'm going to send my messenger with a message that's going to put you under his feet. Hello? Praise God. Message of salvation and truth. Message and plan of redemption. In John 3. Oh, hallelujah. John 3. And the Lord came into the world, didn't he? The messenger with a message and a plan and a purpose, just like what he did with Moses. When Moses saw the light, right? What did he do? He went, he acknowledged it, made a choice to go towards it. The voice came. Moses said, yes. The Lord said, I got a message for you, but first take your shoes off, man. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus was the messenger who was the what? Light. Who was coming into the world with a message so that those could follow him. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what?
Saved.
He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe, and the word believe means what?
Follow.
Is condemned already because he does not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that the what?
Light
has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Amen. So you and I can get to a point where we actually like darkness better than light. But we have to make the choice, don't we? There's times when, there are things that you and I do that are not good for us. Amen? They're not good for us. The Bible says if you destroy this temple, God will destroy you. Now, what does he mean by that? He's going to come down and... No. It means his protection is going to lift from you because he will not protect what you put in your body. That's why people die of cancer and so forth and whatever it is. He will not protect what you put in your body. That is your choice. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. How many times have you done something and ran away instead of gone to the Lord? You know why? Because darkness doesn't, the darkness now that's in you does not want to be exposed. Because when you touch unclean things, you open the door for demonic activity. It doesn't mean you're demon-possessed. But it means that there's darkness there and there's a spirit there. You know, just because you don't foam at the mouth doesn't mean, you know, and your head doesn't spin and you don't throw up and all kinds of stuff, you know what I mean? It's amazing how the movies make stuff, you know? I mean, you gotta be, you know, floating in the air to have a demon, you know? Glued to the ceiling or fans or whatever and bleeding from every area, you know, to have a demon. Well, that's just plumb nuts, you know? And believers can have demons. Amen? Amen. Believers can have demons. And let me tell you, if you're tormented and hindered, if you keep going to the lust, the flesh, and the pride, there's a spirit there. It's hard to get rid of, isn't he? If you keep justifying and reasoning why you're doing what you're doing, and you know it's not God's will, there's a demon there. Hello. But he who does the truth comes to the what? Light. He's willing. He or she's willing to come to the light so that the deeds can be exposed so they can get delivered. Right? We finally made a conscious effort to say, all right, I had it. I can't live this way. I'm tormented. I need help. I'm going to the light. And when we found out what we had, we were like, yeesh, God. I didn't know how my heart was that bad. I didn't know those thoughts were bad. I didn't know what I call those things common. Common. They're not common to the eyes of God. Amen. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen. That they have been done in God. Is everybody with me? Now look what happens. After these things, Jesus and his disciples came into the land of Judea, and there he remained with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing. So what did they do? They went with Jesus to what? Baptize. They walked with the Lord, didn't they? Why? After they what? Came to the light and allowed their deeds to be exposed. Does everybody understand that? So the Lord said, okay, come on. What did he do? He brought them back into him to walk with him again. Is everybody with me? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Now, we know again that Moses came to the light, didn't he? And he became a testimony. Amen? Luke 15. Light came to reveal deeds of darkness so that they could take off their shoes. Hallelujah. For a whole new life and an inheritance. Luke 15. Oh, hallelujah. Luke 15. Everybody there? Let's start at verse 21. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And am no longer worthy to be called your son. Here's somebody that walked away from his daddy. We know this is the prodigal son, right? He went into the world, took his inheritance, spent it on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. He knew he sinned, and he came back and said, you know, I've sinned against heaven. He acknowledged God first, didn't he? Does anybody understand that? I've sinned against heaven. And in your sight. In verse 22. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand. And sandals on his feet. Glory to God. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this is my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Jesus looks at us every time we turn to the light. And let our stuff be exposed. And when we realize that we have sinned against God Almighty, and we humble ourselves, and then we make amends with those we've sinned to. Does everybody understand that? And hurt. And what happens? The Lord puts on the robe, a ring, and new shoes.
Amen.
And new shoes, man. Glory to God. In John 13. Now, let's go to Mark 6 first. No. Cancel that. Let's go to John 1 first. Did you bring an eraser? You ought to know better by now. John 1. First, John chapter 1. And verse 26. Is everybody there? In verse 26. And John answered him, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. John realized he wasn't worthy to loose. No one can walk in the feet of Jesus. No one can walk in his shoes. It wasn't time for the exchange, but it was coming. Does everybody understand that? It wasn't time, but it was coming. Amen? Now go to Mark 6. Hallelujah. How do you get this stuff? Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Revelation knowledge. In Mark 6 and verse 10. Also Jesus said to them, in whatever place you enter, as he sent out his disciples, he said, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there till you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust under your feet as a testimony against them. Now what did he say? Whoever will not receive you or what?
Hear
you. Shake off the dust from that place as a testimony against them. And surely I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than of that city. So now look at this is powerful. Because what did they do? They shook off the dust, didn't they?
Amen.
Why? People weren't receiving them. Right? So what happened? They were walking on holy ground.
Amen.
And they were rejected. But see, that's why it's important. We have signs, prayers for when guys come home every day, because you know where they're at? On holy ground. Shake the dust off, because we're a bunch of dust collectors.
Amen.
Shake the dust off before you come into your home, or shake it off before you come back on the campus. That way no spirit's surfing you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So look at, because of their obedience, what did he say? He says, look at now, shake the dust off when they won't receive you or listen to you. Okay, so they shook the dust off as a testimony against them. Now look what happened in verse 12. So they went out and what?
Preached
that people should what?
Repent.
Didn't it? Wasn't that what they were supposed to do in that house except receive? So what did they do? They shook the dust off and they went out and said, and they preached repentance. Now look at what happened. The first thing they started doing was what? And they cast out many demons. And then what? Anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So understand this. What kept the anointing flowing? They shook the dust off of the world. They continued on the same message. Repent. Why? They couldn't preach repentance unless they were repenting themselves. They were keeping themselves clean. They were shaking the dust off. The anointing was flowing. They were casting out devils, laying hands on the sick, and people were getting healed. Everybody got it?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Now let's go to John 13. Holy, holy, you know. Right? did I say go? John 13? John 13. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. What was He doing? Preparing them for new shoes. And to wipe them with a towel with which He was girded. Then He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Him, Lord, are You washing My feet? Peter had a hard time with that. He was very difficult in reception, you know. He didn't want to receive. And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, You don't understand, Peter. You don't understand it now, but you will know this after. This will come to you later. The revelation will hit you later. So, you know, just be obedient right now. How many times we need to be obedient now? You know what I'm saying? And just take godly counsel and trust God. And you know, the revelation will come later and we'll go, thank You, Lord. But when we don't take the counsel, you know what we do? Oh, we reason and make excuses and everything else. And we blame everybody else and we say this and we say that. And hello, spirit of criticism comes. Flesh is starting to get puffed up again. God's presence is starting to lift more. We're starting to get hungry for the desires of the world. And the next thing we know, we're touching unclean things, desiring unclean things. And we're back right where we started from. And everything that you and I did, and it was stored up in heaven, when we break covenant, is lost. Amen. Hallelujah. But praise God.
Amen.
His mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We can start all over again. But who wants to start all over again?
Amen.
Let's do it right. Go all the way, man. Hallelujah. What I'm doing, you don't understand, Peter. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash My feet. Jesus says to him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with Me. So Jesus had to clean him up first, didn't He? He says, listen, you can't wear My shoes unless I clean you up. And when Peter got the revelation that Jesus rebuked him and said, you will have no part of Me, he was like, okay. All right. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Amen? Also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Amen? So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call Me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Hello. Praise God. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. Hello. But that the Scriptures may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with Me has lifted up his heel against Me. Hallelujah. Let's go on. In Luke 7. Oh, to God be the glory. Luke chapter 7. Seven 37. Hallelujah. Luke 7:37, and behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of fragrant oil, very expensive, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with what?
Fragrant
oil. Now check this out. And this is very powerful. Because of what she was doing is what God is doing to me and you. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he spoke to them saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would know and what manner of a woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. So he said, teacher, say it. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them would love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have rightly judged. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. But she washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is given, the same loves little. Now understand this. Jesus was saying, listen, the woman came bowing before him in repentance. Amen? She was washing his feet with her tears in repentance. All right? Then what? She was kissing his feet. She was drying his feet and then anointing his feet. You'll read in the other scriptures that the anointing that was put on his feet was for his burial in preparation. Preparation to die to self. It was that cycle again. Deny, pick up, and follow. Deny, pick up, and follow. So we need to keep ourselves clean so the anointing what? Flows. Does everybody get it? Let me share something with you. The anointing also assists in your burial and your dying to self. Without the anointing of God in your life, you can't die to yourself.
Amen.
You can't. You can't. Physically, fleshly, no matter what you do, cannot die to yourself. Only the anointing can kill you. Does anybody understand that? That's why we are to deny, pick up, and follow. Just like Moses, when he saw the light, he made a point to turn. He showed God. That was a part of what? Death. When he did, the Lord called him, didn't he? Then he said, take your shoes off. Then what did he do? He anointed him. Is everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40. One through three. You know, if you think about it, the woman, first of all, which I needed to explain, had to take off Jesus' sandals. Amen? So it goes back to the sandals off, the washing, and the anointing. Everybody got it? The sandals off, the washing, and anointing. You know, there are many cultures that take their shoes off before, you know, they go in homes and whatever. I find that very humbling, you know. It's too bad I can't do it, but, you know, I'll just walk. We have a tendency just to, you know, wipe our feet on the rug, you know, not on the main rug, but on the, you know. and then walk in the house and do whatever, right? Unless our shoes are really bad, we know, then we take them off, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, if we could see spiritually, hello, we'd be shaking a lot of dust off.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my
cry.
He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. What did he do? He set his feet on the rock, didn't he?
Yes.
And established his steps. How many of y'all want your steps established? Praise God. When he said, well, he waited patiently on the Lord and cried out, didn't he? Amen. Hallelujah. And as you and I do that, God will establish our steps. Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Psalm 91 and verse 11. And he shall send his angels charge over you and keep you in all your ways. And their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps around those who reverence God. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You shall trample under your feet. Let me tell you something. When you're walking in that arena, you have power, authority, and dominion. That's where you can truly say, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Amen? You have power, authority, and dominion over darkness. Ephesians 6. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6. In verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's a part of your full armor now, isn't it? Now you've been given new shoes with a message.
Amen.
Amen? We see how it was prophesied in the Old Testament, then fulfilled when Jesus came, right?
Amen.
And given,
yes,
so that you and I could walk with the message.
Hallelujah.
So everybody got it?
Woo. Thank you,
hallelujah. In Romans 16, Romans 16. In verse 19. Romans 16 and verse 19. Read it with me. Romans 16, verse 19. Read it with me. For your obedience
has become known to all.
Say that again.
For your obedience
has become known to
all.
One more time.
For your obedience has become known to all.
You know, what about when you're disobedient? It's become known to all. It's time for new shoes. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. And let's close in... You know, the Bible says, in, you don't have to go there, in Psalm 37, 23, and 24, the righteous steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. Amen? In Psalm 37, and 23 and 34. 23 and 24, I'm sorry. But I want to close at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Hallelujah. For you have been called, chosen, and faithful. Our choice. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Oh, He prepared it. He did it. He fulfilled it, that you and I can walk in His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for the righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls. Hallelujah. Take your shoes off and get some new ones. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for Your Word. And Lord, whatever it is we need to do to take off and let down and let go, help us, give us the strength. Let Your anointing bring death to self and glory to You. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here tonight. And I ask, Lord, whatever it is You're dealing with them as well as with me, let Your will be done, and not our own. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.